happy Friday, everybody. This is Lieutenant Miranda Fay. I am here at the Women in Aviation Conference. I'm normally behind the scenes at Flight Suit Friday podcast, but since I'm an attendee, I decided to take the mic and interview some people about their experience here at the Women in Aviation International Conference in Orlando, Florida. Today, I have some of the Coast Guard planning team here for the day that we have. We have a Coast Guard specific day the day before the WAI conference actually begins, and it's all about Coast Guard aviation, and it was a great experience this year, so I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. Lieutenant Commander Cassie Hawley. I'm the Assistant Engineering Officer out at Air Station San Francisco, and happy to be here today. Miranda, thank you for having us.
Happy to have you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lieutenant Commander Michelle Cosenza. I'm currently the 60 Platform Manager in 7-Eleven, the Office of Aviation Forces. Thanks for having me.
Hello, everyone. It's Lieutenant Commander Maggie Champlin. I'm the Assistant Operations Officer of Standardization and Training for HITRON.
Nice. So quite a diverse amount of people. We always get feedback on the Instagram that we never have 60 pilots on. So very excited to have you, Michelle. I'll finally have some backup to be like, no, we talked to everybody, you know?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's a bunch of 65 pilots that, you know, started this. So it just starts going from there. But cool. So we are all pilots here. And so our favorite thing to talk about, of course, is SAR stories. So does anyone have a good one recently? Or maybe HITRON story, something like that?
I have a really good SAR story. It's not recent because I've been at HITRON for 2 years. HITRON's awesome, by the way. But of course, we don't do search and rescue.
Right.
So this is a North Bend story. It's my final year at North Bend. It is January 1st.
Oh, wow.
So it is, you know, New Year's morning. So my co-pilot was Connor Regan. And we had already delayed our flight a little bit because the ramp was completely icy. So we're like, yeah, we're just going to delay a little bit. And then we start getting, you know, phone calls about, hey, we might be sending you on this case inland, like out into Eugene, like past Eugene to the east. So these two kids, teenagers, I think they're 19, had decided to go out camping for 5 days. And they had packed enough stuff for 5 days, starting on like Christmas Day. Awesome. And it snowed like 5 or 6 feet of snow on them right after they go out. So they had actually driven their car out. And on day, I don't know, 7 maybe, whose ever house, I think was one of their grandmother's houses, is where they'd parked the other car. And she's like, I wonder why they haven't picked up the car yet. So they call the ground parties, and the ground parties go searching and they can't find them. So we get called on day 9.
Oh, wow.
Right. So out we go, and it was a pretty nice day for the day. And so we go out, we go searching that area and don't find anything. Don't find them, I guess, on the first go. We actually found somebody else in a car that looked similar. Yep. That was also had just gotten stuck.
Lucky day. Goodness.
Yeah. So, and it was two people in a vehicle. We're like, oh, we found them. No, we didn't actually. They said, no, that they were fine, that they had food and they had water. And so we called the ground parties in, and the ground parties got them unstuck. So we went back to Eugene, got some gas. And, you know, you have those interactions with the FBO
as
folks.
As a 65 has to.
Yes. As a 65. Right, everything. You're either too heavy or you're out of gas is pretty much how it goes, right? So we go back to Eugene. You have this conversation with the FBO folks, and you're chatting, and I call the ops boss. You know, well, we have enough time. Like, let us go back out. So we go searching, and it's wooded, and there's snow, and it's hard to find people overland anyway. And so we're basically just searching the roads. And sure enough, we come over the top of this ridge, and there's a vehicle and two people. And we're like, both, you know, me and this woman are like, oh, you know, mark. So we do come back around, and they had stomped SOS in the snow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which was, wow. I mean,
very smart,
very smart. And so yeah, we pick them up, and, we'd actually turned the audio on for the recording, which is awesome. And then the echo, now that we have Vox, you know, you don't really think too much about what you say. So it was, this comes into play later. So we picked the first kid up, and he's in the back, and you can hear him. He's super excited. He's like, whoa. He's just like super excited, screaming in the back of the aircraft. And I say something to the effect of, well, he certainly sounds excited. And the flight mech says, oh yeah, he's really happy. I was like, and just under my breath, and it picks up on Vox. I was like, yeah, he's gotta be freezing his butt off. And that was a clip they used.
Oh, later no. On. Yeah.
So it's out there. It's out there. So we picked the second guy up and we're headed off to Eugene. And then you hear the first kid comes across in Vox from the back. He's like, where are we going? So we tell him we're going to Eugene. And he's like, cool. Who are you guys anyway? Fun fact, we're the U.S. Coast Guard. So we get back to Eugene, which we had just gotten gas at, you know, because 65s. And we come into the FBO, and the nice person behind the desk is looking at us. Oh, you're back. That's cool. And then looks at us and then looks at these two kids that are with us and goes, Did you just rescue them? Yeah, like that's what we do. And she's like, oh my God, and she's like pulling out waters and all of that. So it was kind of an interesting day. But yes, the clip of me absolutely saying that went out.
That's a good one. That's the one you gotta like file away for like later, you know?
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I said that.
I don't know what it is with teenagers, right? Like, I got a good teenager story.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, so I'll keep this very quick. We got to San Francisco, like third duty out there, and apparently I just am drawn to Cliff Aces because I love them so much. I'm like, you know, I signed up for Over the Water. And so we get this call for a teenager that's like holding on to the side of a cliff. And so of course it's like, you know, not great weather. And we had the California Highway Patrol already turned down the case, and another Henry One already turned down the case. And so we go out there, get past the Golden Gate. And I'm like, holy crap. I said, it is so dark. like all these lights. And we're like crossing over like between like the clouds are at like the towers on the bridge. So we're like scooting in between and we turn the corner and we go in, and then we get there, and like the fire department has set up, they're trying to get a ropes team down there and they cannot get it figured out. So there's like 15 firefighters at the top of this and they're like pointing down, and we're like, one, two, three. There's three. And so, yeah, get pretty close. And anyway, you know how that story goes. You get really scared because you're getting close to the cliff and you pick three kids up and you're worried about weight and power and trying not to brown out. And, so anyway,
yeah, for those of us in a community that have to worry about weight and power.
I don't think I've ever had that happen, actually.
And so we get them in the cabin and I'm like, what were you guys doing? And they were like, well, you see, we went for dinner, like a cookout on the beach, like 18-year-olds, right? And there was five of us. I was like, whoa, did we just miss like two people on the cliff? And they're like, no. So we decided to go for a hike at sunset. And I was like, you mean you decided to scale a like 600-foot cliff that just drops onto the water on either side at sunset? Like, this is a brilliant idea. I guess two of them made it to the top and like called down and like, don't come up anymore. And they're like, well, we're already halfway and now we're stuck. And I was like, you went up? You didn't fall down? I was like, I just couldn't believe it. And we got back to the air station and called one of their parents and were like, hey, we have your son here and we need you to like come pick him up. And they're like, this is a joke. I was like, no, that's not a joke. They were like holding onto the side of a cliff and like they are here and they need a ride or we'll put them in an Uber. So that's my quick story for you about teenagers.
There's always a teenager story. It wasn't mine, but we had somebody, the pilots came back. They were so annoyed. And I was like, what happened? And they're like, he asked for an Uber. Like, I was like, you're lucky to be here. Like an Uber. And he's like, oh, I don't want to be at this like airport. They're like, sorry, bud. Like, we got you off this boat. He was trying to YouTube how to sail on his boat. Yeah. And so they're like, yeah, I don't have a lot of sympathy right now. So like, it's like, we got you safe. So there you go. So yeah. Cool. Anyone want to explain what WAI is?
So Women in Aviation International is the conference at large that really is an opportunity for women of all ages and all backgrounds to come to, one, learn about different opportunities in the aviation industry, both civilian, military, contract, seek out the requirements or the ways to get to those opportunities. They have educational sessions and leadership panels. So it's just really personal and professional development for aviators, men and women of all backgrounds.
And it's actually pretty cool because I think it's one of, if not the largest aviation conferences in the U.S., So that's pretty cool. I think what we're in year 36 this year.
Yeah.
I think it 30, is.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And just hearing all the amount of like money that they give in scholarships as well, just shows you how massive this organization is. It's really cool. All the things that they can do, for it as well. And then we had our Coast Guard Day beforehand, which is the day before the event, the in-person event. We have a Coast Guard specific day. And how did that come about? Do you guys even know like how that came around?
So I'm not sure when the actual Coast Guard is started. I think we have been going as a group Coast Guard to WAI. I know my first conference was in 2020, which was actually pretty interesting. I was the only attendee from North Bend. I had been a pilot for 15 years before I ever got to attend this conference. Wow. Got here, and of course, I think the week after, like as we were traveling back, this is just an aside, as we were traveling back from the conference is when they were closing airports for COVID.
So
everybody on the West Coast was trying to get tickets through Denver because they were talking about closing Seattle. And so that was kind of interesting. But the lead person at the time was Caitlin Mitchell-Worster. She was sitting up in 7-Eleven and was doing everything pretty much by herself. I'm not sure that she had a team per se. I remember coming to that conference, being really pumped up after going through all of the things, doing the Coast Guard Day and the educational sessions and the dinner, and just being really rejuvenated. And that's saying a lot for an introvert, because it took a lot to be extroverted for that amount of time. And I remember reaching out to her after the conference and saying, okay, you do this on your own. How can I help? And then the next year, it being all virtual because COVID had shut everything down, which was the advent of the virtual conference that we have every year, which is next
on the 27th.
Yes. And now we have two conferences. Now we have the Coast Guard conference and we have the Coast Guard virtual conference. But that planning, gosh, we start in July. Getting ready for this,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's
the whole checklist is months out.
There's a checklist, yeah.
There's a checklist for everything in aviation, so well, it just makes sense.
I'm not sure that there really was ahead of time.
Was that your invention last year?
Yeah. Cassie always has a checklist.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, it's okay.
I like checklists. Cassie, I work well with checklists, and then I like colors, so then I color code the checklist as we go through, and everybody laughs at me. But
I think, you know, going back to Caitlin, like Caitlin was really kind of a driving force in this what we have now. So I think it's awesome to see just how much we've grown. That first year we had 55, 60 people maybe. And now last year we're over 100. This year, if you look at the photo, the flight suit photo.
Absolutely.
It's so many people. So I'm interested to see, I'm not sure what the full number is this year. That are still here, but. It's pretty amazing to see where we were and where we are now. So I think big shout out to Caitlin for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with all the people that came in on permissive orders too, because we happen to be so close to other units that it's made that a little bit easier.
Yeah. I think we brought 9 from the Tron. So,
nice.
Which is pretty awesome.
Some good positive representation there.
I think it shows you how much people look forward to something like this. When you have all those people that are willing to travel permissive to be here for something so expensive, to have that networking opportunity. And there are some commanders and captains here now who are like, I went to my first WAI conference like 15 years ago. So I think we've had the Coast Guard Day for a little bit, but it was definitely not what it is now. And to echo what Maggie said, shout out to Caitlin Mitchell-Worster, who did this for 6 years by herself at different points, and all the ladies who went before her and in between her to run this by themselves. But now having the planning committee, it's so much better to be able to share the workload, especially because most of the planning committee, this is all volunteers. This is not directed. You know, this is people passionate about seeing this continue forward.
Yeah, it's not a collateral duty in the, like, you are now the WAI coordinator for, you know, name a unit. No. And in fact, I don't think every unit even has someone on the team for sure. There's 7-8 of us maybe?
Yeah, I think the nice thing is that the women that feel passionate about this initiative have an opportunity to take part in the planning process. So, you know, there are a lot in the fleet and a lot of people at operational units that maybe don't have the time, but if they have the time and the dedication for it, they can participate in this group and really give back to the Coast Guard outside of their operational or whatever command. And I think it's really important to also talk about the fact that we don't just have aviators, but we have aspiring aviators and then also other rates. So we have an SK, health services technician, an SK, and then a flight doc here, two flight docs here, and then people applying for flight school. So someone from a cutter, someone from a sector, and then four cadets. So we're in, people that are interested in coming aren't just the people currently in the fleet, but those that are really wanting to join, and it's giving them a lot of motivation to continue their dreams to come into the fleet, or just figure out how they can support us.
So if you're interested, send us an email. We are happy to have you.
I'll say the more the merrier. And I think it's important to note too, like how much work, I'm going to give a shout out to Chief Cassie Hunter. You know, she's been part of this team for a while as well. And she has really done a lot of work to get our junior enlisted very interested and get the word out. The Ask the Chief thing that she does is just amazing. Like her, like, and she is always driving towards, like, we need this. And I love it.
Yeah, I think she has caused a paradigm shift in that, you know, there was a period there, especially when we're getting the planning committee together, was like, we need senior enlisted females who can be part of this because we don't understand what it's like to be on the hangar deck side. So I can plan this conference, but I don't know if I'm hitting the right things. And, you know, and she told us at one point, you know, she's very straightforward. If you ask her a question, she'll be very direct with you and tell you what's up. So be careful what you ask. But I love her for that because I learn every time that I talk to her. And she, you know, she was like, the enlisted don't necessarily want to go to this. They see this as a pilot's conference. And so I think that we've seen a big change because we've had people like her willing to volunteer and be part of this planning committee. And it's expanded to what we've been able to do, like Flight 2 Friday podcast. Thank you for being here because, you know, I think that helps spread the word. But like, that's not something we had the capacity to do when it was just Caitlin, right? Like, absolutely. There's too many pieces for that to happen. So I agree. Huge shout out to Cassie Hunter.
Yeah, I've really loved how the committee has grown and how much interest is generated. I've already heard at least one person say, like, yeah, like, I didn't know I could be a part of this, but now I want to be. Good. That's we amazing. Would like you.
Yeah. Fixing people too. You know?
The more the merrier for sure in the planning committee.
Absolutely. I think it's also a testament too, because like we have such a, you know, we are starting the committee and it is getting bigger and bigger as we go. And if you look around at the conference, the Coast Guard is like the most well attended of all the military branches. And I think, you know, being the smallest of the branches and then being the most well attended, I think is like a testament to one, how the word can spread, and then to just like the interconnectedness and the ability to have units kind of put forth their people as well and being willing to come to this event.
It's awesome walking around. It's like Coast Guard, Coast Guard, Coast Guard.
It
Coast
is.
Guard.
It's really cool.
A couple of years ago, we were, it was a group of us and we were talking about that. I think we were in Tennessee and it was like, wow, like everywhere I look, it's Coast Guard uniform. I said, I haven't seen really any other services. I haven't seen a single Marine. And as we're having this conversation, this woman walks by and she's like, I'm a Marine. And we're like, oh, hi, like, nice to meet you. She wasn't in a uniform yet. And so we just chatted with her. I don't even think we got her name. That night was the dinner. So we get to the dinner. Sorry, I'm going to sidetrack into a story.
That's fine.
So we get to the dinner and they start introducing the Hall of Fame inductees for the year. And lo and behold, this Marine is being inducted to the Hall of Fame, right? She's like a full on colonel. And all of us were just mind blown. We're like, oh my God, we met her. Like, we had no idea that she was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I think we had a photo with her. It was just a lot of fun. I was like, we didn't see any Marines.
Yes. Yeah, there's somebody being inducted from the Marine Corps and there's no other Marines here. Yeah. I ran into a few of my Marine friends from flight school and they're here in civilian attire looking for jobs. So it's like, ooh, maybe that's a little different. Like, we're here trying to promote what we're doing, you know, very different than them trying to look for jobs. So, yeah.
I think we should, I guess, segue into like some of the stuff programs that can be transitioned. However you'd like to say that.
Absolutely,
I would say programs that we offer within our own Coast Guard day, which is...
like the summary of the event itself?
Well, yeah, I guess summary of the event, but like it's not just we throw information at you, right? Like,
absolutely.
We have a keynote speaker, and this year was Admiral June Ryan, having our guest speakers, and Rear Admiral List, who is supportive every year, comes every year. Our mentor program with just our senior aviators who come in, and they are almost all... I would say they are all just all about it. They, yep, absolutely. I will be a mentor. I will sit down with 15 people for 30 minutes apiece and take up, you know, half this conference just talking careers. Meg Peters coming down as the detailer and having those very honest career conversations, no matter where you are in your, in where you're going. I think that's something kind of unique, I guess, that we offer here, that you don't necessarily see at other conferences.
Yeah, I think it's all about the exposure, right? So like a first tour pilot at a small air station, let's say North Bend, will get a lot of exposure in their aviation capacity. And depending on the leadership, not just in North Bend, but at any unit, maybe their experiences and what they know, they're all motivated to ensure those members are developed, but just might not have the capacity or might not have... that member might not have a leadership person that they really click with. So if we can bring everyone here and then expand their aperture or their possibilities for networking or mentorship, then we can really make those lasting connections and ensure that people are pairing up with those of like minds or similar dreams and drives or interests, and create those like career lasting or lifelong lasting friends or mentors.
Yeah, and it makes it less scary
yeah.
in some ways. Like those senior leaders who are here chose to be here and they choose to be mentors, which I think is really awesome. But, you know, it's a sign up sheet. You can sign up for multiple mentors. I know I did this year. And
right.
I think some people struggle to I remember my first year. I was like, well, I don't even know what to ask. And like, I don't want to waste this person's time.
Right.
And someone next to me was like, it doesn't matter. Just put your name on someone's list. Like, just go talk to somebody. What, like, you'll learn something.
It just ends up being a conversation
exactly.
and things come out through that.
And absolutely. Some of the senior leaders too, they're like, I mean, they've done the small talk thing long enough. Right. And they're like, okay, we got this person who's signed up and they may not be ready to talk, but you know, we're going to get it out of them. And so maybe they lead the conversation instead of you. And I think that, like you were talking about networking and the mentoring is some, what came up in Slido that I read later was some of the lonely onlys is what they said. And that's how they titled it in all caps was that, that, or only lonelies, maybe it was put that way, that you may be the only female, maybe it's the only female pilot, maybe it's the only female flight mechanic on the hangar at your unit. And this conference is so important for you to see other people in the field that you are in, or like when I was coming up and I was like, I don't know if I want to be an engineer because like, there's really not that many female engineers and whatever the path is that you want to go, right. Is to see people that have done it before you and to start making those connections so you can ask those questions that you need to. And I think, you know, we may have had some of the mentoring piece before. I don't necessarily remember it when I went to my first conference back in, I think 2017, I was brand new co-pilot. Oh, here I am, you know, very interested in aviation. And so I will say with Maggie sitting in the room, a shout out to her for really getting that mentoring piece going and the sign-up sheets and reaching out to the senior leaders that were coming to say, hey, are you willing to do this and like take out part of your day from the conference to sit with people who really do want to talk to you, but most of the time we don't have that opportunity. And so here we are with a few hours to talk and learn.
I'm also super impressed with everyone's willingness to be vulnerable and transparent about professional and personal lives. Like I had a couple mentoring sessions where I talked to, you know, people about colo because I'm a colo and how do you make this work? Or other members are bonding over, you know, liked experiences, maybe being med down or the challenges of upgrading. You know, we have senior leaders from like a CEO, XOs, you know, Captain McGillie's ahead of 41. So it's impressive to see them kind of take on like a person, like act like a person, if you will, not a senior leader. So they're able to give that professional advice, but they're also talking to you like a peer in that like, hey, let me give you some life experiences and knowledge.
it is cool to see like some of our male counterparts who chose to come here, especially pay their own way to come here and learn and figure out. They're like, man, yeah, I feel a little awkward. Like, I don't know what conversations I should be a part of or like not be a part of, but they're like, man, I've learned so much. And, you know, maybe some of them have other people in the room that are friends with them. Like, how do you think that we feel every day, you know, when we go to work? And so, you know, we really do need our male counterparts to help promote some of this stuff too. And to like recognize like, what are things that need to change? You know, maybe it's just a simple little thing in regards to like language and culture at your unit or in the aircraft while you're flying. Or maybe it's something that you notice in like a meeting, somebody's being talked over, and having those conversations and calling people out and being there to support. So I really appreciate that aspect too.
Yeah, because no matter what, even if you aren't a woman, you're going to work with or work for or, you know, have someone lead a woman at some point. So you need to know the policies. You need to know the things that are, you know, issues that we experience and just being aware of that. So I think that's incredibly important too. And then we had a bunch of breakout sessions as well that I want to talk about for the Coast Guard Day. And so they were helping with burnout.
So it was like burnout, work-life balance. It was Coast Guard credentialing or FAA, like civilian counterpart, like licenses and certificates. It was financial readiness, DISC personality types. Yep.
Burnout was a double.
It was doubled up,
And parental then, policy was one. Yeah.
And then parental policy, especially since that one was a big change. And, you know, we took a lot of the agenda or ideas for the event from a pre-conference survey. So shout out to Molly Smith. She was the one that put together. And we sent it out to the fleet or people that had previously been on the planning committee, like, how can we make this better? And the lessons learned from last year that Cassie was great enough to put together, to try to just keep evolving the day to be what our attendees want or what they're really looking for.
I agree. Let your voice be heard. If there's something that we're missing, let us know. And especially if you want this year, you know, please give us feedback. Every year we're trying to make it better and like cut things that people don't want to hear anymore about, or maybe make that particular thing a breakout session so it doesn't dominate the whole conversation. And so we only get better when we get the feedback on what it is that you want to hear. And there are periods where it's like, you know, this went long or this went short. It's like, yeah, you know, like we're doing our best. We like know that it's not going to go perfect from the start. We plan our best. We try. Like last year, our mental health discussion went over like 45 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh, where am I going to cut in the rest of the day? Cause it's already a long day. And so, you know, some of that stuff is very dynamic when we're trying to make the changes like on the spot and do what we can with the time we have. So it's not enough time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did move some things, right? We have the full day and we're required by policy to do, you know, so many hours, it was 8 hours of conferencing, right? But we did move some things out. Like we did the Ask a Chief talk, and that becomes, you know, something that's outside of that Coast Guard day, which is, you know, and that's, again, Chief Hunter. Hey, we're going to do this Ask a Chief. This is the, gosh, how many chiefs did we have this year? Like 4, 5?
Oh, I think we had more than that at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome to see like how many chiefs we had come to this, and that, you know, it became an event for all of our enlisted maintainers to just be able to ask those questions, whatever burning questions they had. And so, you know, we put that as a outside of our Coast Guard Day conference. Mm-hmm. We have the optional mom talk so that, you know, moms can get real with one another about what those struggles are and, you know, the childcare and all of those things. And Cassie's going to laugh at me because I'm almost, you know, I have my touch points, childcare is being one of them. And and then of course mentoring that's my jam. So
yeah. I think the other great thing about the breakout sessions is we had a variety of them, so people could choose the topics they were interested in and maybe weren't forced to sit through something that maybe wasn't pertinent to them. But we also gave the members, you know, it was a very quick session. Each one was only about 20-25 minutes. So we couldn't dive deep into it, but we were able to give members an overview of the topic and then really the resources to go find additional information. And ideally, those members will use that for their development, but also bring it back to their units and maybe say like, oh, you're having some struggles working with your supervisor. Have you ever heard about these personality styles? You should look into this. Or, man, I know, you know, one of my good friends on the hangar deck or another pilot is struggling financially. Let me tell them some of the things I learned about investing and the difference between a traditional and Roth IRA. So I think it had a lot of direct impact on the members, but ideally a lot of indirect impact through those members.
Well, and we also put all those resources up on our team, right? And for those of you that don't know, we have a Women in Aviation Teams channel. And that's where all of that information goes. And we put those files, and we have one for each year. We have one for Orlando, we had one for Nashville, et cetera. But that's not a closed team. Like, we can add you to the team and you have access to those resources. I mean, that's where we do the mentorship stuff. Send us an email. Or just, you know, search for the team and ask for access. We can do that too.
Yeah, I heard wonderful, like, reviews of the breakout sessions this year, specifically because it focused on the resources available and having them available as well that you can take back to your unit. Because people are like, oh, I've never even heard of these types of things before. And now I can take the time and actually learn about them because I have a handout in front of me that's got QR codes or, you know, it's online right now.
I loved the QR codes. I think it was Maddie that brought the resources and everything she talked
did.
About
had a QR code.
It was awesome. I was like, that's amazing.
I know. I was like, this is a very important piece of paper. I need to not lose this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty awesome.
We also need to give another shout out in this room to Miranda, who volunteered to be our our PAO with Gretchen Krause this year. And, you know, we couldn't do some of what we're doing without you and getting the word out there. And, you know, they managed to get an Instagram takeover for the Coast Guard. So amazing. Thank you for doing that and capturing this event.
Yeah, go like and subscribe.
I will also say she's going to be the moderator or the MC for the virtual event. So that's on the March 27th from about 12 to 4 East Coast time. And so she's taken a pretty awesome role and a pretty big one this year. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's been fun, but it's exactly what you were saying. I went to Nashville for my very first one, and I've heard about Women in Aviation because as cadets, we were offered the chance to go. I had another cadet trip that I took, so I wasn't able to go when I was a cadet, but I've always known about it. So I was always really excited to go to my first WAIO conference, which was in Nashville. And after that, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. I was like, how can I get involved? And so I wasn't able to go last year, but I just tried to keep putting my foot in the door there to help out. So I think it's really important. And I really think it's important to get our newer members in there. So like they aren't the only people that are at their unit. Just in case that happens, they have the other resources of people to like expand their they're not alone in the Coast Guard, you know, and they don't feel like that. So I talked to a few people today and they're like, I am the only person on the hangar deck or the only female on the hangar deck. And it does feel a little lonely. And she's like, so it was wonderful to come here and just like see all the other people ahead of me that I can now reach out to if I have questions about that. Or somebody else came up to me and they're like, I've never seen a female chief like ever. She's like, I've been in the Coast Guard for 3 years. I've never seen a female chief. And I was like, there's an entire row back there. And she's like, I know, I'm so excited. So it's just those types of things that I think are incredibly important. So trying to get out the word to the junior enlisted and making sure that us as pilots also try to seek them out as well and share this resource that is Women in Aviation for our more junior members and get them connected earlier rather than later. So that's why I liked it. So that's why I wanted to join to help out.
And on top of, you know, we talked about the breakout sessions, but another big thing that we do are the leadership panels, which are a lot of fun. Senior and junior nominations from commands
in a survey, and it is comprised of both E and O on both the junior and leadership panels, because we're understanding, like, regardless of your rank, you can be a captain or you can be, this year we had a third class on one of the panels, because it's not just your experience in the Coast Guard, but it's your insight and your background and how you've impacted the fleet for as long as you've been in the Coast Guard, that we're really looking for.
And perspective, too. Yeah. I think because everybody's perspective is different. And so just as much as it is important for those of us that are junior to learn from the senior members, it's important for us to mentor up as well and for the senior members to learn the perspectives of the junior members. And maybe they can take some of that back to help change.
I was just really encouraged, too, how, like, we did have very junior members on this panel, and they were very open and honest about the things that they struggled with, but then also how they're trying to go about solutions. And I thought that was amazing. So I, you know, to have the comfort or the confidence to speak at it for a room full of Coast Guard aviators that are like, you had some very senior people in there, and to be that comfortable saying, hey, here's the things that I'm experiencing on my hangar deck, and here's the things that I'd like to see changed. And just really embracing your power, which was our theme, but also embracing that speaking truth to power, I thought was pretty encouraging.
Yeah, I really love that we choose a theme every year. And I know we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on the theme. And so finally it was just like, all right, what me and Lindsay Norwood were in a battle, I think. But not a battle.
I just kept liking all of them.
What if we combine it with that and do all these things?
What would the Instagram model just hit like next to that?
Yeah. I was like, just like all these.
Oh, we had a couple of things, right?
It all sounds good.
We had the theme. We had our vision statement come out this year.
That's right.
If you have that on you.
Yeah, we can pause right here and try to see if you have it.
Created by our very own Maggie Champlin.
I can add it in somehow. Yeah, I'll make sure to get that added in.
We can just send it to you. We can just send you the verbiage. Yeah, it's really becoming like a full Coast Guard. I think before it was like, oh yeah, a bunch of members are traveling to this, you know, part of Women in Aviation International Conference, but it's truly like a day in itself. And then, you know, the Women in Aviation Conference is...
I think it's very eye-opening to those who, you know, especially those who are coming to this later in their career and realizing exactly what we do. Like, oh wow, that's not what I thought you guys did at this conference.
Yeah, or the effort that is put behind it. Like, I had a lot of members come up to me and I was like, wow, you guys did a lot. Like, I didn't realize how much went into it and how much work it takes, and it was just really cool to see.
Yeah, the starting, we were talking last year, we were like debriefing in March. It was like, all right, well, take a breath because we started again in July.
In 3 months, here we go. It's right around the corner.
Yeah. It's not a full-time job. Right. It's like mostly full-time. Yeah,
you know. It just gets busy the last like month or so.
It gets real busy the last month or so as, you know, meetings and everybody's trying to get...
Yeah, logistics.
Because the flight schedule and the logistics and the...
Right.
Do we have blocked off hotel rooms and...
Yeah. I think this is a perfect time to talk about where we get money from and how the money works.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, it is a mystery.
Well, it is a mystery. Like, let me help shed some light on this because I was very much in the dark as well. And then Caitlin quickly corrected me.
I think even having voiced it this year, a lot of people are still confused as to like how it works, why it works the way it does. So
how this works is every year the planning committee gets together and they say, how many attendees did we have last year? How many people came permissive? How much money should we try and ask for this year? And so ultimately we put together a conference request, and the conference request gets earlier and earlier every year that we have to put it in. But basically that's why the planning starts so early, is we have to ask for the funds that we want 180 days out prior to the actual event itself. And then we hope that the conference request gets approved before we go to the conference itself, because we've done all the planning for it. So we put this whole thing together and it goes through some Coast Guard people, and then it goes all the way to DHS. And then DHS basically says, hey, you're approved for X amount of money, and maybe it's what we requested, maybe it's not. But I will say that with the planning committee continuing to grow and us continuing to grow this conference, we went from $150,000 last year to $195,000 this year that we got approved for. So expanding the number of people that can come. And ultimately, you know, some people are like, oh, well, I'm just going to pay for it from my unit. But that's not how it works. Basically, the DHS says the entire Coast Guard can utilize $195,000 to pay towards this conference. And that includes everything that 7-Eleven pays for, which is our conference registration fees, and then what each individual unit pays for, which is your travel and your food and that sort of thing, transportation to get here. So with that, that's why, you know, we try and look for people that are coming for the first time to send here to the conference and try and vary who gets the chance to come. But as well, we want some people here that have a little bit of experience that can help guide people through the conference and offer some of that mentorship. And that's why we look at like, hey, you know, our goal is to send about two people per unit. But that's how the numbers kind of break down. So every year we keep trying to ask for more, but hopefully that sheds some light on how the money works.
And a message does come out every year around January, February, depending, maybe even earlier, depending on how quickly it can go through the chain of command. And it provides all of that insight about the in-person event, the virtual event, because units can send as many people as they would like on permissive orders, meaning they can't be funded. It has to be funded through their own personal money. But we do try to pair up funded members with permissive order members to reduce the cost of that permissive member for like lodging. Or if we have extra funds, we were able to fund a couple people on permissive orders for the registration fees for the conference. So we look for creative ways to maximize attendance.
Okay, so then that was Coast Guard Day. That's our own conference beforehand. And then we have an entire weekend of other stuff that is just the Women in Aviation Conference. So what was you guys' like favorite part this year?
I mean, Girls in Aviation Day is always so much fun because they do a whole program for them. And for those of you who don't know, so there's really two Girls in Aviation Days that WAI sponsors isn't quite the right word, but puts out there. So one is here at the conference itself, which is always in the spring. And the other one, I believe, is usually in September. And the one in September is usually done by individual chapters for WAI. But the one here at the conference, they always have it's like you take the big conference, you put in a mini conference, but it's for all to get them pumped up about aviation. And that is just so much fun because they always have a really cool keynote speaker. There are huge activities. Almost all the services are here. They have their booths, they have their information. We do a big volunteer effort there. We always make the little helicopters, which is kind of fun. I think that's always just a fun event to be in.
It is. There's a lot of energy. They're all so excited about it. They're genuinely wanting to be there, which is kind of fun.
I think there was, I forget who was doing the, they have like a photography booth. And the photographer this year just had so much energy.
It was Airbus.
And they were just like pumping everybody up. And boy, did he just have so much energy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I would probably say my favorite part is outside the Coast Guard Day, obviously, the educational session. So I think it's just a great opportunity. And they have numerous types of educational sessions all 3 days of the event. And we highly encourage our members that come for Coast Guard Day to go to a couple educational sessions each day. And they cover everything from mental health to how do you become an airline pilot or, you know, anything in between. So you can really pick and choose what you're interested in talking about. One of the cool ones I went to was actually a panel of three senior female military members. And they talked about a lot about resiliency and their struggles throughout their careers and how they overcame them. And then there's always like a great question and answer period where members can ask them like, hey, how did you overcome, keeping your femininity as you join the service in a male dominated society or what have you. And I think it just, some of the lectures just provides you a great opportunity to get this insight and these opportunity to explore these ideas or thoughts that maybe you hadn't come across yet.
And I think some of it too, I sat in on that session as well, is that you're like, I'm not alone. I feel that. You like see all the heads start nodding around the room like, yes, what you just said, right? And so you're just like, oh, that wasn't just me. And that makes a difference too. And so I'm definitely a huge proponent of the education sessions as well. I think just like our breakout groups, right, on the Coast Guard days, you get to kind of pick and choose what you want and what interests you. And there's amazing speakers out here and things that people have to offer. And the other things that, we get the opportunity to do is you can go to the exhibit hall and see a whole bunch of different organizations, but one of them is Women Military Aviators, and they try and recruit everybody to sign up.
If you walk around in a flight suit, you will be
Have you been to the WMA booth? Oh, we're having a flight suit social tonight.
They send like scouts out too.
And at the flight suit social, of course, we're now, a lot of us are in the two-piece flight suit, and I was immediately pulled into a group because they needed more information on the
I ran into somebody else who was like, look, we took a picture of one of your ghosties and it's Maggie. And they're like, we had to take a picture of all the tags to make sure that,
we got the right. Yeah. I was like, okay.
I just want to go back to the breakout of the educational sessions and just give a shout out to Cassie Holly, because she put in a request or application to do her own educational session, not with the Coast Guard. And she just did it today. There was a big group of Coasties out to support her. And that is a ton of courage to go up there and talk about a subject in front of hundreds of people. And she did a phenomenal job. So I think, like, you're an amazing person, amazing leader to do that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I was super nervous. Super nervous. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, it's like one thing when you like start talking to people at work and you start getting comfortable, like, okay, I know these people and hopefully they don't make fun of me afterwards. But if they do, it's okay, you know. I'm like, I haven't met some of these people before. I hope you don't think I'm an idiot.
Professional aviators. Like, yeah.
one of the biggest introverts in the group decides that she wants to do a full-on public speaking event.
Yeah, that's how I like to start. You know, let me make a joke about being an introvert, and then it's a lot easier to like slide into the talking. I'm like, okay, so if you're an introvert like me, use Slido, this amazing tool, to ask questions anonymously. You don't have to get up and talk in front of anyone. Yeah. And they're like, okay, we can do this, you know?
So. I will say that you were talking earlier about the exhibit hall, and there was definitely one of the stalls had a Great Dane, and you guys know, I love Great Danes, and so I spent a few minutes hanging out with Archie. I had to get my Great Dane time in.
There was a Great Dane, and then the Air Force brought a Falcon. Did you see that? He's walking Falcon. Around with a Falcon, yeah, and that crazy. Poor thing has like the like bag over its head. Yeah, I was like, what is going on? Like
zip ties on it. Bird to I know. Be here the whole time.
But then they brought it into lunch, and I was like, that's a little too far.
Yeah, I think the other cool things is like, you know, there's a lunch on one of the days, and then tonight on the final day is the big dinner where they talk about who receives scholarships. We've had Coasties receive scholarships, and it's like a Pioneer Hall of Fame type dinner. So really honoring those that came before us and anyone that's like a big proponent of women in aviation. And it's just cool to see like thousands upon thousands of people in this room all for like a light cause and
from around the world. Yeah. Not just in the domestic, United States either.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for speaking with me. It was wonderful talking to you guys. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us.
We say goodbye.